Hi, Dan Meisner here. Just wanted to jump in before we start the podcast because this is our last episode. That's right. This is our final episode of our 10-part summer series for CBC Radio. We might come back with more episodes. We might not. I'm honestly not sure. But while I've got you, I wanted to say a couple things before we start. First off, thanks. Thank you for listening. And if you're a podcast subscriber, thank you for subscribing. Second, I want you to do me a favor. If you like this show, recommend it. Grown-ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids has always been a word-of-mouth kind of thing. And recommendations, personal recommendations, they mean a lot. So tell a friend. And if you are an iTunes person, take a minute to rate the show. Or even better, leave a review. You can do that right there in iTunes, or you can do it on your phone. Ratings and reviews are really, really important because they help new people find the show. Finally, I would love to stay in touch. Long before Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids was a radio show or a podcast, it was a series of live events, and it's still a series of live events. And even though our radio show is coming to an end, we're going to keep on doing those live shows. So if you want to know when and where those shows are going to happen, the single best thing to do is join our mailing list. You can sign up at grownupsreadthingstheywroteaskids.com. Just fill in your email address and your city, and you will be among the first to know about our upcoming live shows, how to sign up to read your own stuff, and where to get tickets. Okay, I think that is it. Thanks again for listening. Here it is, the final episode of Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. When Mariana was 12, she had a crush on one of her older brother's friends.
My latest crush is on Jeffrey. He might sound as if he is a nerd, but he's not. He has braces, glasses, and contacts. He recently turned 14, has blonde hair, blue eyes, and is a pyro. Sets things on fire. Nothing dangerous, though. Just lighter fluid.
Jeffrey does sound like quite the catch. That's Mariana reading from her diary. And this is Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. I'm Dan Meisner. Each week on our show, Canadians share their childhood and teenage writing, poems, diaries, short stories, and childhood pyromaniac infatuations. This week, recorded live at Le Cagibi in Montreal, we have some reluctant thank you notes, neighborhood ghosts, and a super creepy grade 5 horror story. This stuff is weird, it is wonderful, and some of it is pretty revealing. So think about the stuff that you wrote when you were a kid, and stick around. A minute ago, we heard about Mariana's crush on her older brother's firebug friend, Jeffrey. But it wasn't long until Mariana moved on to another boy. Now, just as a heads up, Mariana wrote this in her preteen diary, so it contains some preteen diary language, which is to say, there is a certain cuss word she uses repeatedly. We bleep it. Once again, here's Mariana.
Dear Diary, I have a boyfriend, huge letters. His name is Andrew, I'm not going to say his last name, and he's so cute and so nice. I have his phone number and he has mine. We both are bad at gym and both play the clarinet and both watch too much TV and we're both tall and he asked me out. He really did. But I'm only allowed going with a group of kids and a parent. I don't really like Jeff except for a small part of me. I mean, he's nice and I like him, but not a crush. I really hope he'll call me soon. He has his own business card. It's really cool. It has his name in fancy writing, Andrew, middle initial, last name, and his phone numbers and address and a cute little cartoon picture in the corner. And then, no date. Dear Diary, Andrew, full middle name, full last name, is the scum of the earth. He's lower than scum. Fuck. He dumped me. I'll write more tomorrow, MV, and then I never did.
Mariana's diary is a really good example of just how intense kids can be when they're excited about something, or someone. But kids aren't always so fired up. Sometimes kids write not because they want to, but because they have to. Reluctant childhood writing often comes across as half-hearted, and in some cases, that's exactly why it's funny. For instance, take Dan.
Hi, everyone. So I was 10 and I had this aunt. Candy was like a lesbian hippie aunt that traveled all over and was a stand-up comedian. And we didn't really like her, and she sent like really strange gifts to our house. And my parents were overcompensating all the time by having me thank her, both on the phone and then in writing by sending her letters. So I have two of them here. Both of them were written after I had already thanked her on the phone. I hated writing letters, as I'm sure it'll be clear. 7th May, 1991, dear Candy, thank you very much for the cool-looking shoes. I really think that they are samples because I've never seen anything like them. I can't wait until we see each other, then we will wear the same shoes when we go out. So, since I spoke with you on the phone, there's not much to say, so I'll see you soon. Thanks again for the great, 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 great shoes. Phew, I gotta go catch my breath now. It's on a 56-foot lead, so I'll see you later. Love, Dan. P.S. I'm using the shoes to run after my breath. Then later in the year, December 10th, 1991, dear Candy, how are you? I will try to add as much information in this letter as I can. Because of our recent chat on the phone, I'm unable to add as much information as if I had not spoken to you in some time. First, I will start by thanking you for the lovely Hanukkah card and wishing you a happy Hanukkah as well. Thank you for the card and happy Hanukkah. Next, I will ask if you have seen any movies lately and tell you that I am looking forward to seeing some during my Christmas vacation, such as Star Trek VI, The Addams Family, My Girl, and Hook. Have you seen any movies lately? I am planning to see a few during my Christmas vacation, such as Star Trek VI, The Addams Family, My Girl, and Hook. Next, I would like to talk about school. School is great. I enjoy going out for recess, going out for recess, and going out for recess. Next, I would like to ask how your jokes are doing. I told you she's a stand-up comedian. How are your jokes doing? Next, I would like to tell you about the science project I made. I made a science project about fold mountains. It qualified to the final round of the school competition to see which other projects will compete against other schools. My project didn't make it farther. Well, I put in as much information as I could think of that I didn't tell you about on the phone already. So now I'd like to conclude this letter. The end.
This is Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. I'm Dan Meisner. Our next reader, Simon, brought along something he wrote in 1960. That year, Simon's dad was doing some minor renovations on their house, and that involved putting a hole in one of their walls. Now, Simon, he saw this as an opportunity to send a message to the future, a kind of time capsule. So Simon wrote a letter and stuck it in the wall before his dad could close up the hole. 30 years later, Simon's parents sold their house, and shortly thereafter, the new owners started knocking down walls. Guess what they found? Simon's letter from 1960, mold stains and all. So the new owners sent the letter to Simon's parents, who then sent it to Simon, who then brought it to our Montreal show to read on stage.
June 22nd, 1960, 10:25 p.m. To the persons or person who find this letter, I would like to inform you of our world's present condition. Our cat, Gigi, is about to have kittens. She is a Siamese pedigree and a very pretty one. My mother, Kit Davies, has just had a baby. It was very cute, and we called it Matthew Paul Davies. My father is now painting the hall and about to plug up this hole. My brother is now in Ontario working for the summer to earn his way through UBC. My sister has gone to visit her friend. She works at the Gulf of Georgia Towing Company. Our two cats, Gigi, previously mentioned, and Yuli are both eating their last meals of the day. I am sitting in my bedroom writing this letter. Yours sincerely, Simon John Davies.
I'd say that was a pretty thorough explanation of the state of the world in 1960. Simon's letter was not the only time capsule, though, that we heard at our Montreal show. Gerard brought along something he wrote in 1986 as part of a BBC Schools project called Doomsday Reloaded. Basically, the idea behind the project was to capture a snapshot of life in the UK in 1986, 900 years after William the Conqueror's original Doomsday Book. Everybody was asked what they thought would be of interest 1,000 years in the future. As the BBC puts it, this was about documenting everyday life, the ordinary rather than the extraordinary. And as you'll hear, Gerard had some interesting ideas about what constituted ordinary life in his village in 1986.
1986, Ivor Heath, ghosts. So far, there are three known ghosts in Ivor Heath. The first one is called Lady Lillian, who lives in a 100-year-old house which is now used for maladjusted boys. It is called Dromana School. It's where I grew up. So far, three people have seen her. I, myself, and two other people. The second, Poltergeist, is in a friend of mine's bedroom. The Poltergeist turns on the radio when it is not plugged in or has not got any batteries in. The last one is in my house. It is all over the top floor of our house. It smashed my sister's glass stereo case twice, chucked her alarm clock at her, hides my computer tapes, spreads toothpaste in our bath, and generally scares the life out of us. Where my friend and I live, our whole street is built on a graveyard. By Nathaniel Turner and Gerard Harris. Thank you.
There we go, a shockingly accurate portrayal of life in Gerard's hometown.
It can be fascinating to look back at what our younger selves thought was going to be important to record for posterity. For Simon, it was the impending birth of a litter of kittens. And for Gerard, well, it was the ghosts that lived in his neighborhood. When our next reader, Tessa, was 12 years old, her class got an assignment. Every student was supposed to write a letter to themselves at age 18. And then when the students turned 18, their teacher would send them that letter. Tessa's 31 now, and we'll hear her read her letter in a minute. But first, here she is to explain a little bit about what was going on in her life when she was 12.
My family had just moved from Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we had been living for a year while my brother was undergoing chemotherapy, to Lethbridge, Alberta, where he was still undergoing chemo, but I was starting junior high. I was so incredibly nerdy because I think as my parents had been, you know, they had been very absorbed in my brother, and we had been sort of moving around a lot, and so I had been quite isolated and quite lonely, and so I read comic books and I watched Doctor Who and Star Trek and was just incredibly eccentric and nerdy. January 21st, 1996. Dear me, how are you? I am well. Do you still like ElfQuest? You had better, or I'm gonna send my favorite characters to beat you up. So start reading now. Ha ha! I do speak to myself rather imperiously, don't I? You may be wondering, how can your former self threaten you without threatening itself? Easy! I'll just call up Doctor Who and the TARDIS. That's Tom Baker as Doctor Who. So, a new paragraph. How is Kaelin, anyway? What color is his hair? I may seem like a nerd to you, but if that is so, then I am quite disappointed in me. If you have started smoking or other self-destructive habits, then stop. But since you are me, and I know you best, you haven't. Am I still interested in philology? I hope I am, because I do not want to be getting my hopes up for naught. So, are you still chubby? Don't answer that. I'd just die if this awful diet Mom had me on was for nothing. So how's life at age 18? I'll bet anything I still haven't been on a date. I hadn't. So, what do you think it's be like 10 years from now? 1996 to 2006. You know what I think? I think there'll be flying cars. I don't think I actually thought that. That'd be cool. I have to close now, but I will leave you with this. Remember who you are.
Tessa, ladies and gentlemen.
After the show, Tessa and I ducked out onto the street. I asked her to reflect on the time that she was 12, when her family was so focused on her brother and his chemo.
It shaped everything that I was, and a large part of that was just my family going into the hospital every day. And a lot of the time, I think I was too scared to go with them. So I was spending hours and hours and days just alone when I was 11 or 12 years old. I had to find something to do with myself, and that something was always reading, was always just imagining things, writing things, coming up with stories to tell myself.
If you could go back in time, what sorts of things would you want to talk to your younger self, the girl who wrote those?
Oh, geez, that's really tough, because I mean, the thing is, about 10 months after I wrote that, my brother did die, and so I mean, I don't know what I would say to her, because I don't think there's any way that I could prepare her for that. The impact that was going to have on shaping everything that I've become since. Seeing myself sort of trying to reach out to my older self and trying to remind myself of all of these things that have stayed a part of me is really comforting in a way.
Yeah. One of the things that I think these writings can offer us is a sense of continuity in our lives, right? This idea that we came from somewhere and we used to be versions of ourselves, but ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you get any of that sense of continuity when you look back and you reflect on this stuff?
Yeah, no, I think I really do. And I mean, this is something that, like, I find it a little embarrassing as I'm reading it. I'm like, oh God, little me. It's like, At the same time, like, when I read it and when I read it to my friends, they listen to it and they're like, that's you. That is just straight up everything you are in one page.
This is Grown Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. I'm Dan Meisner. Often at our live shows, people open up. Even if you don't know the person who's on stage, you can get a sense of who they are and who they were and how they've changed. The things people bring and share can say a lot about them personally. But sometimes the things people read go beyond that, and they say something about the time and place they were written. They capture the zeitgeist. Our next reader, Joanna, is 44. She was a child of the 70s.
And when I was 10 or 11 or 12 when I wrote this, we were really worried. We thought the world was going to end at any moment. And this is a short story called A Short Story. I was homeschooled. Once upon a Monday morning, a man woke up to the sound of his radio. He got out of bed, went to the kitchen, and put his pot of coffee on the front burner. He went to the bathroom, shaved, and returned to the kitchen. He poured the coffee and sat down at the table with the paper. The front page carried a report about the Russian-American War. The man thought for the 100th time how good it was to be Canadian, with no worries of war for power. He put the paper down. He had never been very good at reading. He picked up his hard hat and then remembered that he didn't have to work that day. It was Remembrance Day or something like that. He walked into the living room, sat down in his armchair, and put his earphones on. It was Brahms, of course. He had always loved Brahms. So had his mother. He looked out his window, his eyes fixed on the mountain, the cross. It was indeed a day for remembering. A truck was coming slowly down the street, and a man with a megaphone was yelling something. Probably another advertisement, thought the man. It sure is loud. He returned to his music, a peaceful smile on his round face. The nuclear missile hit the city of Montreal exactly 1 minute, 40 seconds later. There were no survivors.
That is what they call a plot twist.
Joanna's story certainly took a dark turn at the end. And at our Montreal show, the dark childhood writing continued. Our final reader, Ian, brought along a book that he wrote when he was in grade 5. He describes it as a cross between arachnophobia and The Good Son. And I'm going to be honest here, it was actually pretty scary, or creepy. Creepy is maybe a better word for this. And I think part of what makes it creepy is that Ian was 8 years old when he wrote this. Here he is, on stage in Montreal, reading The Enemy Within.
It's a small book. It's covered in what appears to be wallpaper. So, The Enemy Within, written and illustrated by Ian Cuthbertson, about the author. My name is Ian. I'm 8 years old. I go to Thorndale School. The Enemy Within. This book is dedicated to my mom and dad. It's illustrated, too. You can't see. But once there was a family who lived in the country near a forest. Once their little boy, Ian, went into the forest to explore. And there's some photos of me going to the forest and exploring. First he tripped. Then he saw a dead bird. He turned it over and saw a giant egg sack. He dropped the bird and ran into the house. And there's little clouds and zoom. What Ian didn't know was that 3 eggs were stuck on his skin. And there's a picture of me with a little arrow identifying the 3 eggs. So 1 week later, Ian was very sick. He had a big rash on his forehead where the egg was. There's a photo of me with a thermometer that's red and lines coming off of it. The next day, Ian died. Right? But life goes on. So Mary, the mother, asked Sue, the maid, we have a maid in this story, to adopt another boy. His name was Joe. Joe buried Ian. And then there's a photo of that. But, the eggs went on him. His eyes flashed green and red, and then he fainted. The baby spiders were hatching out of their eggs. The spiders were absorbing into his skin. When he awoke, he realized he had been asleep for 8 hours, and he had a craving for insects. And there's a little picture of him, and there's a fly, and he says, "Mmm." So then he, Joe, saw a spider coming out of his skin. He turned to evil. I think I had a happy childhood. I don't know. So, first, he killed his baby brother. And there's a little photo. He's got a curved knife, and there's a crib and an infant lying on the floor with a big red stain on its chest. His Oh God, I'm sorry. His father heard the noise and came running into the room. He sees Joe with a knife. Joe's eyes turned brown again, and he looked normal, but inside Joe was not. He was still evil. After the incident, Joe stayed in the cellar. Probably a good idea. His dad was worried, understandably. So one day, Joe's dad went to check the cellar, to check on him, Joe. His dad didn't come back for 9 hours. His mom came down and saw Peter, Joe's dad, lying on the floor, dead. And it's really morbid. Why did I write this? His mom jumped back. Joe came to bite her, and there's a picture of Joe climbing over this basket named Cloths. But then she took a fire extinguisher and sprayed it on Joe. He started to die. Joe did one more bite on his mom's hand, and then he died. So I wrote this when I was 8 years old. The principal of the school, we were all supposed to write stories and, like, you know, give it to him. And most were stories about pleasant things, I imagine. Mine was about, you know, murderous son killing his entire family. To which the principal of my high school wrote, June 10th, 92, Ian, what a scary story. Thanks for sharing your story with me. Good work, Mr. Walker.
Times have changed. You write that story today, they call somebody. And just because I know people at home listening to this are going to want to know, you seem to be a reasonably well-adjusted, functioning adult human being. Is that more or less true?
Yes. I'm perfectly normal. I just want the radio listeners to know there's nothing wrong with me. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
That's Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids for this week and for this season. That's right, it is our last episode. It was recorded live at Le KGB in Montreal and produced by Allison Broverman and me, Dan Meisner. Our music is by Lullatone, and you can listen to this and every other episode of our show at our website, cbc.ca/grownups. And if all of this sounds like fun to you and you want to know when we're coming to your town for a live event, sign up for our mailing list. Stay in touch. It is the best way to find out about our upcoming shows, get tickets, and sign up to read your things. You can join the mailing list at our website, grownupsreadthingstheywroteaskids.com. That's grownupsreadthingstheywroteaskids.com. You know, we are always on the lookout for a new catchphrase, something that we can use to explain our show that really sums up what we do. And I think this week we have found a catchphrase. Let's try this out. Grown-ups read things they wrote as kids.
I think I had a happy childhood. I don't know.
I'm Dan Meisner. Thanks for listening.